you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Philippians 2, 1 through 11. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. Having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature, was God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Woohoo! Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, January 18th, 2022. And that voice you just heard is Joel Williams. He's a missionary with CMF International, serves in Kenya with his lovely wife, Rachel, and their three children, right?
That's right.
I saw them at church a few weeks ago. And I just thought we would open up with our special guest doing a reading, Marianne. That was, I don't know if it was our idea. We thought,
yeah,
let's have him read it. I love to open up with the scripture, and we're going to talk a little about that special passage for Joel. It's one of his, I think you said, your life verses.
Or
it contains a lot of different things, and we'll touch on this Testimony Tuesday. But I wanted to reference yesterday, Marianne, we began our readings from Prayer, the Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. We gave kind of an introduction and talked about prayer, and I played a song about prayer. And so I thought, because of the emphasis we're going to have each and every Monday on prayer, maybe one of the first things I would ask Joel is, Joel, how can we pray for you with your mission work in Kenya?
I think one of our greatest prayers all times is that God would reach the lost. And then tied with that, as a family, that God would just be ever present and ever growing in our lives. And our greatest prayer for our kids is that they will grow in a relationship with Christ and continue to walk with him for the rest of their life. So,
now, Marianne, I'm going to do something very unlike me, but we're going to introduce him within the first few minutes of the program.
Okay.
We're not going to wait for like 5 or 10 minutes.
We are doing it right.
So you and Rachel are a part of CMF International, which is Christian Missionary Fellowship, and you've served with them for how many years?
We've been there now for going on 6 years.
Okay, going on 6 years. You're kind of on a little furlough, just a Christmas break, and then you'll be returning to Kenya. Why did you choose Kenya? Of all the places in the world where you could serve and have a heart for people, why Kenya?
Yeah.
Well, for me personally, you know, I could be really churchy and say that, say that it was God's calling, but really, in a short word, it was my wife who has felt called to international missions for a very long time, since she was 14 years old. She went on her first international mission trip when she was 14 and has been called to Kenya since college. So,
oh, my.
And she would be joining us this morning, but you couldn't figure out the child care situation, so she's home with your three children, and
right.
So we appreciate you coming in.
Well, she homeschools, yeah.
Does she? I am so impressed that you said that. I really am. I mean, that's so meaningful that your wife had this call, and you are right there with it. We so often have people like, you know, the man has the call and the wife is helping out, and, you know, they just love it.
Yeah, it's
Thank you.
Absolutely. It's one of our things that we're really big about, and sometimes you have to use a very specific language in order to kind of portray that message. Like, we're both missionaries, and especially with our story where she felt the call first.
That's awesome.
A lot of ways, before we even dated, it was really interesting that I was praying because I knew she was called to missions, but I didn't necessarily feel that call at the time. And, and so it was kind of one of those where I knew either I was going to compromise her call that I knew she was called to, or God was saying, time to put your money where your mouth is.
I like that.
You're called too. So I submitted to that. Didn't know what my role would look like, but...
Well, you're very engaged now in it, in that mission work.
100%. And you're currently taking classes at Lincoln Christian University. You That's were right. a student there some years ago, and I think your wife graduated with a couple different degrees, but you're very actively involved. And one of the things I saw on your website, or I think it was on maybe your business card, transforming lives and communities. That's a part of what CMF is all about. Mm-hmm. And so take us a little through how you're fulfilling that calling and also intersperse some of your faith journey, how you got to the point to be involved in this calling.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've said multiple times, made the joke that my autobiography might be something like 12 years a senior because I started at Lincoln a long time ago.
It's a big club. It's okay.
Yeah.
You're getting there.
Absolutely. Well, people often joke that female students go to LCU to get their MRS degree.
Yeah, they did say that.
And so I often say, now I went and I got my MR degree.
Oh, there you go.
Rachel left with two degrees. And,
well,
I
three.
Left.
She got you.
Yeah, that's right. She actually got 3 degrees there.
Yeah.
I love that. So, yeah, and so that was all kind of part of our story and learning humility for me, being able to lead through submission, but also lead through putting her first and seeing that God's desires were to see her finish those degrees first.
You're going to go far. I'm just saying.
Well, and I'll also,
I appreciate you saying that.
I'll also say, as I was observing him in church, because I was thinking he was being introduced to the church, and the church was going to vote on whether they would help fund his ministry work, he and Rachel's ministry work. And I was watching him interact with his children. He didn't know this, but I'm sitting back there, and his one daughter is in his arms and kissy face and loving on him, and he's being very patient, and the other boy needs to go to the bathroom, and he's taking him back there. And I thought, this guy's a good dad. I'm giving him high marks on being a good dad. Is he a good missionary? Or I hope to learn more about his character. But you're winning Marianne over by honoring your wife, which all men should do, and all men should honor women in general anyway. Mm-hmm. But take us through some of that faith journey too. Did you grow up in a Christian home?
Yeah, so I did. I grew up in Urbana, Illinois, and grew up at Weber Street Christian Church.
Mm-hmm.
So had a strong faith family. My family was in church every Sunday, every Wednesday. We were one of those. But I've often said I once was not a Christian, but you never would have known, because I was one of those who, I was always in the church, did all the churchy things, but we also had some trauma in our childhood that caused me to rebel. But the nature of my personality was that I hid those things from the outside world, from those who were closest to me. So I kind of lived these double lives for a while that, at some point reaches a tipping point, right?
Yeah,
it does. Either you're going to step into who you were created to be or you're going to become something, something of a monster,
Yeah,
so.
Now,
praise God.
Who helped lead you into the knowledge of seeking Jesus as Lord and Savior, not just as a person that you knew or this holy man or this miracle worker, but to be your personal Savior?
Absolutely. Yeah, I also often say that the Imitation of Christ saved my faith.
That book, The Imitation of Christ, because there's a book named that too.
Absolutely. So there's a book named that, and it's one of the books that I read almost every single year. But no, it was the literal Imitation of Christ. So at a time in my faith where I wanted nothing to do with the church because of the abuse of my childhood and multiple other other bad situations within the church at that time and within our family, seeing someone who just lived like Jesus lived, and then beginning to understand the historical Jesus, not just in the context of the Bible, but the fact that, he's this historical figure who's recorded in multiple texts throughout history. And these narratives are all very similar, whether you believe he was the Christ or not. Who he was as a person is very well documented. And that idea, when I was an adolescent, part of me was like, I'm not so sure I want to be part of the church. But this Jesus, like the way he loves, so was very powerful. Interesting. And I had a great friend who was one of the only ones who knew what I was into and knew some of the double life that I was leading. And so no matter what, he was there. He'd pick me up in an alley. He'd do whatever he needed to do. And the next day, not a judgment, not a, you know, a harsh word, but he just loved me unconditionally. And that that imitation of Christ saved my faith.
Right.
Yeah. That's powerful testimony.
Then when did you start feeling the call to serve, whether it's in missions or just to follow Jesus and see beyond the hurt, the baggage, or the problems that happen in church? Because a church is generally a collection of sinners.
Well,
I mean, we all go there. We're
there's
all
your
broken.
First problem.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I would be a great Christian if it wasn't for all the
all
people
the
around
people.
Me. So, yeah, that's...
Church unto myself.
Yeah. It would be way better if everyone was just like me.
Yeah, right?
That's right.
Or if we could just be the God, and then we could just, you know, resolve everything.
Lord save us.
Yeah, you know what they say, you know, if your God never disagrees with you, your God might be you, right?
Hey, that's, I don't know if I've heard that. That's great.
That's a good one. Oh, so then was it at Lincoln Christian University, also maybe at that time called Lincoln Christian College, but is that where you met up with Rachel? Tell us a little of that love story.
Yeah, absolutely. So I did. At a fairly young age, it was when I was 16 that I was actually baptized, came to Christ, and decided that I was going to, you know, again, I was unsure about the church with some of my past history and past hurts, but I was ready to follow Jesus, whatever that looked like, and imitate him in a real way. And so felt the call fairly early that I was going to be working with youth, probably youth ministry. And so ended up going to Lincoln Christian University, and that is where I met Rachel, which is interesting since we're both hometown kids, right?
Oh,
both grew up here in Champaign-Urbana. She then moved to Mahomet for high school, so we were both local and probably had seen or brushed shoulders with one another because we have some of the same friends in small circles, and so it was really interesting. But yeah, we met at Lincoln.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, was it love at first sight, or how did that work?
That's actually really funny. I don't like using that term because it puts people off, but it was.
But it was.
It kind of was, at least for me, and maybe not for her. Sure. But no, it was funny. We were in the same small friend group, and we had all planned to go to a midnight movie together. And she was kind of talking to one of my friends at the time, and we were all supposed to go, and we had planned a car to ride together. Well, at last minute, he bails. So Rachel and I end up in the back of a car together, talking for an hour both ways. And in that car ride, both directions, I kind of knew. And so actually for the next like almost a year, I avoided hanging out with her because I wanted to honor my friend
the one that bailed.
I thought I was being real clever. I would ask my friends, "Oh, who's hanging out tonight?" And anytime her name would come up, and be like, oh, "I got work to do. I can't hang out tonight." But they caught on.
Yeah. Well, I did mention on the onset when introducing you, but you served at Judah Christian School in the drama department and something else. You did that for a number of years and fill in some more of your background.
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in Urbana my whole life, was an Urbana grad. I also ended up becoming the swim coach for both their boys and girls swim team. Also have taught here at Judah High School in middle school in speech and drama, served at New Horizon Church for a while. Rachel grew up at First Christian Church and so grew up on John Street here in Champaign.
Sure.
So like for people who know Champaign-Urbana, these are, you know, names they're recognizing.
Familiar.
Yeah, we're familiar faces to many. Yeah, especially with our service as coaches and youth ministers and et cetera, there's a lot of people in the area that we know and love.
And now you're in Kenya.
That's right.
Yeah, so talk a little about CMF International, which is Christian Missionary Fellowship.
That's right.
And some of the things that you see God doing in and through you and Rachel and the ministry work there.
Yeah, so CMF's a great organization based out of Indianapolis, Indiana. And they've been around for a long time, been doing what they do for almost as long as anyone who is sending missionaries. And
They focus in four different ministry areas, in marketplace ministries, which is like among closed people groups, in urban poor, in college ministry, and then where Rachel and I serve, which is the church, what they call church catalyst, which you could call church planting, but it has a heavy lean towards partnering with existing churches in whatever country you're in and catalyzing them rather than coming in and, you know,
starting new.
Yeah, starting new or being the savior.
I like that.
Having a ministry that's dependent on you. And so we serve with their Kenya Church Catalyst team. They actually have two teams in Kenya. One's an urban poverty team and our team's a Church Catalyst team. And we've been there now for, it'll be 6 years in August. And so we affiliated with CMF back in 2014. So it's been, I guess, almost going on 8 years for...
What area of Kenya are you in?
And so we live in an area of Kenya. It's the northwesternmost region. It's called Turkana County. And it's a county that's only like 3,000 square miles smaller than the state of Indiana. So when I say county, a lot of people think small, but This is a pretty big chunk of land.
More like a territory.
Yeah. But we work kind of throughout the country a little bit. The nature of our ministry is that it is national. We have teammates who are kind of spread throughout. We've got 10 American missionaries there on the ground that we're on a team with. That's six units. So we have some singles, some families, and that's our family over there. We're very, very close.
Now, would I call this an ornament? What is this? So if you come to the studio, you look in the window, I have this kind of angelic angel.
It's beautiful.
I put it on my mixer board here. It's about 6 or 7 inches tall. It has wings. It looks like her hands are holding something. I don't know if that's a scroll or a flute or something.
Yeah.
And it's out of like what brooms are made out of, or
except
what,
it's silky.
Or, yeah, silky. And
it's really beautiful.
So it's made from the palm leaves, and they shred it and make it very thin and fine. It becomes almost hair-like. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I know that you work with various women and groups to help them flourish or occupy a position or a job or a small business
something.
Yeah. Is this one of the things they make ornaments? And I know you have a wristband, so those are being made.
Yeah. So Rachel and I, with our team, we fulfill kind of three primary roles. We work in what we call disciple-making movements, which is, you know, creating disciples that will make disciples that will make disciples, right? We also work with youth ministry and then in community health evangelism and education, or CHE. And so that our ministry is holistic by nature. We do a lot of different things. I kind of make a joke that what we really do is I have lunch 19 times a week and... You know, we
meet with people.
That's right. Yeah. We spend a lot of time with people and a lot of time in communities. And so that it starts with, for us, it starts with Discovery Bible Studies. And then from that comes community development, comes growth and multiplication, comes youth ministry. All of it kind of pours out of discipleship.
Oh, my. Praise God for what you folks are doing.
Now, we just have a few minutes left, but if somebody who's listening, not only would I encourage you to be praying for Joel and Rachel and their ministry work there in Kenya, but if they wanted to get in touch with you or find out more about your ministry or financially support it, where would you recommend they start?
Yeah, they can head to www.cmfi.org/JR Williams. And that's our website, and that can take them to our main giving page there. It gives a little blurb about who they are and what they do, or who we are, who they are. I started speaking in third person there for a second.
That's funny.
Who we are and what we do and how to give. Yeah.
And that's cmf.org/JR Williams?
Yes, so. J.R. Williams.
Okay, great.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do we have time for me to ask one quick question?
Yeah.
Have you seen Lake Nakuru with the flamingos and the pink?
So we haven't been to... been close to Lake Nakuru, but we've been to other lakes like Lake Naivasha and Lake Victoria. Lake Turkana, Turkana Lake.
Okay.
So all of those have the huge flamingo migrations.
The water looks pink. Oh, my God.
Absolutely gorgeous.
That's one of my dreams, is to see that. I have flown over Kilimanjaro. I've been in the Kenya airport. I have friends in Kenya. And every time I see a picture of Lake Nakuru, I'm like, that's my bucket list right there.
It is gorgeous. I mean, Kenya is full of bucket lists.
I know.
Locations and things to do. It's wild.
Yeah, it is.
We're pretty blessed to be able to live in a place that's literally, you know, someone else's bucket list. It's kind of incredible.
Well, we opened up with Philippians chapter 2, the first 11 verses, and in our closing minute, summarize, why is that your life verse or a special verse to you?
Absolutely. I think the heart of what's being talked about here is imitation, right? Paul is calling to the disciples, those he's already worked with, he's already discipled them. He's making a plea, really, like, hey, if you've received this from Christ, then be like-minded, be like him. Someone who, you know, not full of pride, but is God in very nature and yet will lay his life down for everyone he meets. And so that was the heart of what impacted my life, was someone who, you know, not full of pride, not full of judgment, but rather, you know, even though he might have had the right to be,
right,
I wasn't living a great life, but instead he chose to lay his life down for me, and I learned from that.
It's a powerful scripture, a powerful testimony.
Great passage for all of us, and a great way to live, you know, being those servants of Jesus, being those ambassadors for God in this hurting world. Well, thank you, Joel, and kudos to Rachel. Hopefully we'll get to meet up with her sometime, maybe when you're back, when you're in December of this year. So I guess you'll be
in
Kenya.
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah.
So be praying up Joel and Rachel's work in Kenya. They're with CMF International Christian Missionary Fellowship. It's doing a great work. They've been around a long time, and we appreciate Joel and Rachel's heart for the people of Kenya, for that matter, for anyone, people of the world, as they try to use their gifts and their calling and their lifestyle and their love for Jesus to impact people. So we pray that that will be true for all of you today. You'll be used of God in unique and special ways, because he's created you, and he has a plan and purpose for you this very day. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Joel Williams with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
Be blessed.